Please remain standing as we read the scripture today. Today's scripture is from the book of Acts 9:1-8. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, so you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So he led him by the hand into Damascus. This is the word of the Lord.
Please be seated. Good morning, church. Did you have a great camp last week? Yeah, okay. Okay, I'm going to talk a bit more about the camp afterwards. In the camp, we learn about transformation, right? So everyone is all transformed now. Can say that because it's a lifelong process about transformation. But this morning, we're going to look at transformation of the Apostle Paul. This must be the greatest dramatic transformation, transforming Saul to the Apostle Paul. In the camp, I think we all learn of the news that Mr. Donald Trump, there was an attempted assassination. At first, I thought it's a hoax. I thought it's a joke. But later on, I find it's real. He was shot at, and he was quarter of an inch away from death, not to exaggerate, not even an inch away from death, and quarter of an inch away from death. And then after I came out of the camp, then I got time to study, read more about the news, and it was a really close call. I don't know how that guy could be so accurate. I read that he has no military training. And he shot at him, and it was about a quarter of an inch away from hurting him seriously. I think you all saw this on TV, on the media. And when someone is so close to death, I'm sure there will be some transformation for Mr. Trump. I don't know what it is, but I think we can observe. We'll learn from history in the future how this near-death experience will have transformed Mr. Donald Trump. But I think we have to pray for U.S. As they are our neighbor, 10 times our economy and population, and it's like sleeping next to an elephant. What happened in U.S. will have a great effect on us. There's a $600 billion trade between us. Just start talking economics. So we have to pray for the presidential election in U.S. Pray that God's hand is in the midst. And Mr. Donald Trump said later on, "I'm not supposed in the Republican National Convention," in his speech, "I'm not supposed to be here tonight," Trump told the packed convention hall. "There was blood pouring everywhere, yet in a certain way, I felt very safe because I had God on my side." When we experience a near-death experience, I don't know how many of you have that experience, we always think of God. Today we look at Saul. He did not have a near-death experience, but he has a transcendent, extraordinary experience. I don't know what he was hit by, maybe a laser gun from heaven. But there was light from heaven, and then he cannot see. Well, later on we know that he could not see for only 3 days. But at that time, he probably did not know. And I think if there's any handicap that we have to have, probably blindness is the worst, isn't it? If we cannot walk, we can be on a wheelchair. If we cannot use our hands, at least somebody can help you. If we cannot hear, at least you can read. But if you cannot see, you'll be in darkness. You'll be scared, isn't it? And when I was younger, I had a problem with my left eyes, and I was really worried. If I cannot see, if I lose eyesight on one of my eyes, what do I do? And I'm sure at that moment, Saul was in great fear. He was scared. And I think God gave him this experience so that he can be transformed. It is probably the biggest transformation in the Bible, I would say. Who is Paul? I'm sure we have been reading his epistles, studying in Sunday school, even when we were little in our own earth. Paul is a well-educated man. He has a citizenship in Rome, which is worth a lot of money. And he is a persecutor, a Christian killer. It's not somebody we want to be close. So certainly, we are not want to invite him to church this morning. The Christians are scared of him, hated him. He was a Pharisee, zealous for the law, very well educated. He was educated. He was in the Jewish councils. Was a man of a high position, status, respected, and he was with the crowd when they stoned Stephen to death. So he was there, guarding the garments of all those people who stoned Stephen to death. So it's not exactly a nice guy. And for someone like Saul to become a Christian, it is very difficult, isn't it? Very hard. And sometimes we feel that way as well. People like me, most of us are Christians here. Hard for me to transform, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard for me to change. I've accepted Christ a long time ago, but I've been this way for many years. And sometimes as a pastor, we feel a bit discouraged. Sometimes we keep preaching the same thing. Sometimes we feel like, but people don't seem to change. And they said that they find that your sermon is boring because you preach the same thing over and over again. But sometimes we felt the same way. We preach the same thing over and over again, but people do not change. And for Paul, a persecutor, a zealous persecutor of the church, it's hard for us to imagine how he could change. But God has his way, isn't it? While he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light, maybe it's a laser beam, you don't know, from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" It is for Paul, it's a once-in-lifetime experience. Sometimes God has to use extraordinary circumstances to get our attention. Hopefully, we don't have to wait for that time to come. And if you listen well, we don't have to, even Saul did not have to go through this traumatic experience. Same for us. God is speaking to us all the time. But sometimes, we just coming from 1 year and went out the other year. And God sometimes says, "Hey, slap at us and get our attention." So here, God is getting Saul's attention. He says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" But Saul is not persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting the church. the Christians. But when we persecute the church, we are persecuting Jesus. So Saul did not understand. He thought that he is worshiping the true God by persecuting the Christians. But yet Jesus said, "Why, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" So Paul is ignorant, kind of innocent. He did not know that by persecuting these Christians who are proclaiming the faith of Jesus, he was persecuting the Lord himself. "Who are you?" Jesus said, replied to him, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Now this moment is an extraordinary moment that Saul got to meet Jesus face to face, hearing his voice. For Saul to have a true transformation, he met Jesus. Same for us. We may be reading, studying about Jesus all the time, studying about the Bible. It is good to study about the Bible, but it's important that we need to see God, meet God in our reading, in the scripture. The purpose of reading the Bible is just to have more knowledge so that we can lead Bible studies, so that we can be an award, I can get an award, not just to be more knowledgeable. Reading the Bible is to be able to meet God face to face. Here Saul is meeting Jesus face to face. And when he had this opportunity to meet him face to face, then he can go through a life change, a life transformation. But Saul did not just wait. "Let me study more." And I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" Once he realized this is Jesus, the real Lord, all these Christians that he was persecuting, actually he was persecuting the Lord himself. Once he realized that he made a mistake, he immediately asked the Lord, "What shall I do?" We should learn from Saul. In the camp, we spent 2 days learning about studying, listening about life transformation. I'm sure God has spoken to the ones, all the ones in the camp, to us in a different way. After when I listened to the sharing, everyone was struck by the Lord with different teachings from Dr. Davis. Certain verses, certain teaching will strike us harder. But we have to learn from Saul is once that we heard the voice of the Lord, where to say, "What shall I do?" Why then? It was a great camp. And then we just move on. We always listen to good sermons. That was a good sermon. And then we just move on. But Paul here, after he heard, it's a good sermon, the Lord. It's a good awakening. It's a good experience. The Lord spoken to me, and then he asked, "What shall I do?" This is something that we are always lacking. Once in a while, we heard a good sermon, and then it was a good sermon. I always remember that Toyota, Pastor Norman, that you mentioned about the red Toyota. I don't have the red Toyota now. I gave it away. I have a red Honda Civic now. But besides, it's a good, interesting illustration. What shall I do? Saul said, "What shall I do?" The Lord said, "Get up and go on to Damascus, and there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to do." Get up and go. That's my topic today. Get up and go. That's what is missing. We tend to, when the Lord spoke to us, we just lay back. That was a good sermon. That was a good camp, good talk. But we need to get up and get into action. Get up and go. And Paul did that. Saul did that. He was baptized later on, baptized by Ananias. Why at that spot he was baptized? He did not even go through baptismal classes, Christianity 101. He got baptized right there. Wow. Well, we cannot do that in this church. You have to go through 101 first. But he did not even need to go through that. And immediately, there when Saul met Ananias, and immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. And he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. The Lord said, get up and go. He got up and got baptized, and then he went to Acts 9:20. And immediately, not just he did spend some time with the apostles, a few several days, the Bible said, to learn more. But he immediately, this word of urgency, we read from Acts 9 here, get up and go. And immediately he began to what? To go to Sunday school? To learn more about Jesus? No, he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. Wow, that is immediately transformation. I'm sure we have all learned a lot in the camp, but don't wait for a few years and then we will be transformed. Let's immediately apply what we have learned so that our life can be transformed. It's a lifelong process. For Saul, it was a very a few days experience. He immediately get up to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, starting with the Jewish people, his own people. He is the Son of God. He immediately became a witness for Jesus. When was you converted? When did you accept Jesus as your Lord? Did you immediately went out and proclaimed that he is the Son of God? Or you're still preparing, equipping, waiting for that moment? Transformation. For us to be able to transform, we need to get up and go and take action. Not only that, he immediately started proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God. And saw the Lord speaking to me, quick, the Lord said, leave Jerusalem immediately, because the people here will not accept your testimony about me. Leave Jerusalem immediately. Not only that, he became a Christian and started becoming a witness for him immediately. It didn't take him too long to become an IW, an international worker. He started traveling outside Jerusalem, become a missionary, start bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, to other people. Wow, there was a quick process, wasn't it? From a persecutor of the church, from being an accomplice in killing Stephen, he got converted, got baptized the same day, same morning or same afternoon, and then he became an evangelist after he spent a few days with the apostle, and then he went being sent off to become an IW. All this happened probably within days or weeks. The key here is we have to get up and go immediately. We have a lot of knowledge. We have learned a lot since we were young at church, but we need to get up and go and practice. And the reason that Paul saw can do that, because we learn later from some of his epistles that even though he is probably a strong person, he's a passionate person, but he's a strong person, probably a good senior pastor, maybe, I don't know. He may offend a lot of people, but he's definitely a great, strong missionary. But he's also very humble, full of humility. 1 Corinthians 15. And last of all, as to one untimely born. This is how Paul described himself. I'm a premature born baby. One is untimely born. That means I am so humble. I'm not the same as the other of apostles. Untimely born baby. For I am the least of the apostles, even though he has written 13 of the New Testament books, epistles, and not fit to be called an apostle. What a humble leader that was greatly used by the Lord, because I persecuted the church. That experience was never erased from his mind. That made him a humble leader. Our failure in the past, we cannot change that. But hopefully, that will bring us humility, like what it did to Paul. But by the grace of God, here he mentioned 3 times the grace of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. He mentioned it 3 times, the grace of God. That's how differentiate Paul from maybe some of us. We need to have this humility before the Lord. The Lord has spoken to us many times in the camp. The Lord always wants us to go through transformation, so that we can be more like him. We learn a lot, we can even teach, but we have to get up and go like Paul with great humility. Only then we can change. As Paul said, there was a hymn on Amazing Grace, he says, by John Newton, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind like Saul, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed." Sometimes, unfortunately, God has to use extraordinary traumatic experience, near-death experience, so that it can get our attention, so that we are willing to get up and go and change. In 1981, some of us are old enough to remember that, the 40th U.S. President Donald Reagan there was an assassination attempt. He was shot at. He was seriously injured. For some of us older, we still remember that. There was shown on TV over and over again. He was being shot, seriously injured. And afterwards, history told us that that near-death experience did change him religiously. So in his biography, he said, "An American Life, I found myself asking if perhaps having come so close to death, it was possible that God had spared me for a purpose. I sought to understand whether he may have more for me to do on this earth, and I pray that he would show me the way. I've always believed that we were, each of us, put here for a reason." That includes you and me. "That there is a divine plan for all of us, including us at VCAC 9th Street here, and that I should try to lead a life that would serve that higher purpose." So I believe this is true from his heart. And it was just a book he wrote afterwards. But you may say that, "Pastor Norman, I am no Apostle Paul. I'm just a little guy. I'm just a no-name Christian. Yeah, nobody knows me. You're absolutely sure, just like myself, I am no Apostle Paul. I cannot compare with Apostle Paul. I don't know about some of you, but one day you may become a great servant, apostle, preacher, evangelist, missionary, called by God. I don't know. But I am certainly no Apostle Paul. I am just a little pastor in a little unknown church. But we may not be like past Apostle Paul, but we are all Ananias, and Ananias, and Ananias. Who is Ananias? He is nobody. I even had trouble in pronouncing his name. Ananias. Ananias, in Acts, it was only mentioned briefly by leading Paul, Saul, to Christ. And then he disappeared in the history of the church. He was never mentioned again. Nobody, just like me or some of you. It's nobody. Ananias, a man who was devoured by the standard of the law and well spoken of all by all the Jews who lived there. That's it. That's everything the Bible told us about Ananias, a certain man, a Jewish person, a well-respected man. And that's it. But he gone through the same experience, not the traumatic experience, but he's gone through the same vision, like Saul. And the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, "Here I am, Lord." Same response as Saul, isn't it? When the Lord called him, "Here I am." The Lord calls you. But you trying to, "Excuse me, the Lord, I am busy. I'm doing something else. I'm on my computer game. Let me finish this game first. I'm doing something else. I'm traveling." Or you're like Saul, like this nobody. It won't be wrong to exaggerate. They say that Ananias was nobody. He only did one thing in the scripture, and then he disappeared from the history of the church. He said, "Here I am, Lord." God only used those people when he called. Norman said, "I'm busy, call me next week. Let me finish this." But when Lord called you, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Get up and go." Yeah, again, "Get up and go." But he is a little guy. Sir. No-name Christian. It's not to be Apostle Paul. But again, he acted the same as Saul. "Get up and go." Tell him, "Get up to go to the street, call street, and inquire the house of Judah for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying." The Lord knows he is praying like crazy. "What happened, my Lord? How come I turn blind? Save me." He was praying. The Lord knows that he is praying really hard. Isn't it sad? Only when we are going through traumatic experience, then we are praying. The Lord knows that he is praying. This guy is praying. "And I want you to go there now." And Ananias did have some doubt. He did not just go up, "Okay, I will go." He said, "No." He got up and said, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man. He is a Christian killer. He's a bad guy. He's a murderer. How much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem." I think you got it wrong, the Lord. "This guy is not a nice guy. I don't want to go." Well, he didn't say that, but he's questioning the God's instructions. But the Lord's being very generous. He did explain to him. But the Lord said to him, "Go, still go, you still have to go, because for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel." He did give him one reason, because of the future of the gospel. "I'm going to use this guy, Saul." Now, did Ananias argue? Said, "Maybe you send someone else, right? MMA fighter, or send a whole team of Christians there. Don't just send me. He will probably kill me." But he did not know what had happened to Saul. But he did not argue. He just got up and departed. And Ananias departed, said, "Yes, Lord, if that's your wish, I will go. He departed way away. He did not say, let me prepare. Let me train myself, some self-defense. He just got up and departed and entered the house. And after laying his hand on him, saying, Brother Saul, wow. This guy was a Christian killer. He was one of the accomplices in killing Stephen that I preached about 2 weeks ago. And he went in there and said, Brother Paul, Brother Saul, wow, that is forgiveness. That is gracious. That is love. That is trust. I mean, the other guy could punch him, tie him up, and then brought him to the councils, kill him. But he walked in there and said, my brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why am I helping this guy? But the Lord sent me. He went immediately. Again, we learn from Ananias. He got up and go immediately. He did not wait for a month to prepare himself. He went way away to the Lord. It's the same, isn't it? Whether it is for the to be great apostle Paul, when God called him, he got up and he later on went, he repented, he got baptized. And so when God called this little guy, that he would disappear after this incident, after God used him to convert Saul, he disappeared. He became nobody. We don't even know who he was. He disappeared. But it's the same we learn from here. When God calls us, whether we are a big future evangelist, or we just say, Sunday school teacher, I want a leader at church, you have to get up and go. And God will use us greatly. And Ananias was courageous, gracious, and he obeyed and listened. And then in verse 17, and Saul was baptized. Why at the moment? Now, when Ananias, well, he is in heaven, then he can tell everybody that I baptized the Apostle Paul. Wow, won't that be something that you can brag about? I did not write any scripture. I did not lead 1,000 people to Christ, but I converted. I led Paul to Christ, and I baptized him. Wow. We can all be, we may not be all be Apostle Paul, but we can all be Ananias. But this secret, well, it's not much a secret now, but the importance is that we have to get up and go. God called all of us here, not just the senior pastor, the pastors, the elders. God called you as well. I don't know what God called you to do, but you have to get up and go and don't wait. Otherwise, you will miss the chance. Who is Edward Kimball? Well, he is another Ananias. He is nobody. He's not a pastor, not even a pastor, not even an elder, not even, definitely not an evangelist. He was a teen Sunday school teacher, teen Sunday school, just a little bit above children's Sunday school teacher, not even in the adults' classes. He was teaching teens Sunday school. But he was a faithful Sunday school teacher, a faithful Christian. So every Sunday, he would teach a group of teens. And then there was a teen by the name of Moody. Later on, he became one of the most famous evangelist pastor in the U.S., D.L. Moody. And he formed the Moody Bible Institute, Moody Publishing Company. And one of the teens in his Sunday school was Moody. And Moody wasn't exactly a good student. He cannot even, when he was looking when the teacher Kimball tells the kids to let's turn to the Gospel of John, then he will go to the first page of the Bible and thinking that no, the Gospel of John is in the Old Testament. So that's how great a student Moody was. But then later on, he did not go to Sunday school. So Kimball, in those days, Sunday school teachers do home visitation as well. So he went to the place, but Moody was actually working as a teen in a shoe factory. So he went there and shared the gospel with him and then converted him to become a Christian. And the place where he was converted today, they actually put a sign there about the shoe factory. A shop is no longer there, but they put a sign there saying that D.L. Moody, Christian evangelist, friend of man, founder of the Northfield Schools, was converted to God in a shoe store on this site, 1833. And then D.L. Moody moved on to become one of the most famous evangelists in the U.S., in the world. And D.L. Moody went on his evangelism campaigns worldwide, and then he met F.B. Meyer. He is another, but it's just another ordinary pastor while he was evangelizing, doing his world tour. And then he brought revival to F.B. Meyer. And then later on, he became a great evangelist. Then he even actually traveled back from Europe to the U.S. to have outreach campaigns. And then in one of his evangelism campaigns, he converted Wilbur Chapman. Now Wilbur Chapman later on moved on to become a great evangelist. And Wilbur Chapman, in one of his meetings, converted a very famous at that time, a baseball, professional baseball player, Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday gave up his baseball career and became a very famous evangelist. And then he brought many people to Christ. So one time, Billy Sunday was supposed to speak at a evangelism meeting, but he was not feeling well. So he sent his helper, Mordecai Ham, to speak. And then in the meeting, a young man came to the meeting. A young man, a teen. The teen was converted in that meeting. And that was Billy Graham. And then I think we all know Billy Graham. Probably one of the evangelists has preached to the most number of people in the world. But it all started from a little known, or no-name Christian, or Christian that no one really knows, a teen's Sunday school teacher. Just like Ananias. A Christian that's little known. He only converted, according to the Bible, one person, Saul, to Christ, baptized him. But he listened, obeyed to the Lord. And Saul became the Apostle Paul, and then brought, I don't know how many people, to Christ, but he brought the gospel to the Gentiles. So brothers and sisters, today we may not be a Saul or Paul, but we are definitely Ananias. God can use each one of us. We do not know. I brought many people to Christ. I don't know. Some of them became pastors, church leaders, but the pastor and church leaders, they will bring people, other people to Christ. We do not know. Maybe a few generations later, through our evangelism effort, that person will become a great international worker. But the important thing is, all of us can be an Ananias, but we have to listen to God's calling, whatever it is, and do not wait. Get up and go. Let's pray. Father, I want to entrust each one of us, including myself, into thy hands. We pray that you will call us, give us visions, like you gave to Saul, you gave to Ananias, but help all of us to respond to your calling immediately. Get up and go, so that our life can be transformed, so that your mission can be fulfilled in our life. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.